Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. In John chapter 9, Jesus and his disciples see a man who was blind from birth, and the disciples ask Jesus, whose sin was it that caused this man to be born blind? Was it his own sin? Was it his parents' sin? And Jesus responds saying, no, it was neither. In fact, the fact that this man was born blind was so that the works of God could be made known in him. We must work, we must do the works of God while it is day, before night comes when no one can work. Jesus is using figurative language here, using the hours of daylight as a picture of our life here on earth, and then night as a picture for death when we no longer are living on this earth. And a short while after, when Jesus is contemplating going to Jerusalem, the disciples are startled because there are the religious authorities waiting who want to kill him. And Jesus responds to that by saying, are there not 12 hours in the day? Jesus is making use of the time that of the way things were in that society back then. From sun up to sundown, those were the hours in which you did your work, because once night came, you had to go home and you couldn't carry out your work. They did not live in a 24/7 society like we do today, where there are businesses open at all hours of day and night. And so, at the end of the day, as the sun was starting to set, you would go to the foreman and you would receive your day's wage and you would go home. This is the picture that Jesus is painting in the gospel reading we heard today. There is a landowner who goes out at the beginning of the day into the marketplace, and there are men who are ready and willing to work, and so he hires them. And they both agree, the landowner and the workers, on a day's wage. So they go off into the vineyard and they start working. But this landowner, his vineyard is big. And so he goes out again later on in the morning and he hires more workers. I will pay you whatever is right. And then he goes out even later, this time into the afternoon, and he hires more workers, even to the point where toward the end of the day, when there's only 1 hour of work left, he goes to them, why are you standing around all day in the marketplace? Because no one has hired us. Well, here you go. You now have a job. Go into my vineyard and work. Now, they knew that they wouldn't get paid much, but 1 hour's worth of work is more than nothing. Except Jesus has a surprise ending to his little story. When it comes to the end of the day and all the workers are to be paid, the foreman begins with the last ones who were hired, and they receive a day's wage for only 1 hour of work. Now, at this, the people who were hired at the beginning of the day, they were excited, thinking, well, they're going to get a whole lot more than what was agreed on. Except they got what was agreed on. They got a day's wage. And they took great offense at the landowner to this. Why are you treating those who worked only 1 hour as equal to us who worked all day? We've toiled under the heat of the sun. It's not fair. And we can all agree it's not fair. The way the landowner treated those people who worked all day and giving to those who only worked 1 hour a day's wage. In fact, I wonder who was more startled at this. The ones who worked all day and received the same amount as those who didn't, or the ones who worked only 1 hour and they received a day's wage. Can you imagine? I don't think they could. They were happy at this. And here is where the problem lies. It's not in the actions of the landowner, but rather it is in our perspective. Because if we view this parable as teaching us the way things ought to be in this world, then we're missing the point. Jesus tells us what this parable is about. He says it is a parable of the kingdom of heaven. It is telling us what God is like and what his kingdom is like. And therefore, the landowner represents God, and all the workers represent us as Christians. And if we think things are unfair, then we are not seeing things the way God does. We should be glad that we are in God's kingdom. We should rejoice that we receive all the benefits and all the blessings of being in God's kingdom. Jesus had harsh words for those who were hired at the beginning of the day and grumbled against him. Do you begrudge do I not have the right to do with what is mine? I choose to give to this last person the same I give to you. Or do you begrudge my generosity? See, it's all too easy for those of us who have been Christians our entire lives to begrudge the fact that there are some who live a life that is in constant opposition to God, and yet at the very end, they get in. They are full and free members of the kingdom of heaven. Would we begrudge God's generosity upon them? Or do we not see ourselves as we should see? You see, the problem with those who were hired first is that they were thinking about what they deserved, what was their right. But if we're going to go that route, then all we're going to find is that we deserve nothing good from God. Because inside here is all full of darkness and evil and lust and envy and arrogance. If we do not see this about ourselves, then we are the ones who are judging ourselves over against others. We should see that we deserve absolutely nothing good from God. That in fact, if there is someone who is converted to Christianity at the very end of their life, are they not receiving the very same thing we are? And how is it that we have deserved anything good from God? We should rejoice that a person comes into the kingdom of God no matter when they do it. Now, it's true, the normal course of things is at the beginning of the day. In other words, at birth, when Christian parents bring their baby to the font and they are brought into the kingdom of God. Now, for some, it's at the third or the fourth hour of the day, perhaps in childhood, perhaps as young adults. And then there are those who come into the kingdom of God in the afternoon, perhaps in middle age. And then there are those who come at the very last hour, those at the end of their life. And how can we begrudge God's generosity upon them when we ourselves are the recipients of such generosity? Are there not 12 hours in the day? Seize the day while you have it. If you are a Christian your whole life through, think about all the blessings that you have received from your gracious and generous God. And those who have not been Christians their whole life, that when they do become Christians, then they see all the things that they missed out on in their life, that they were not receiving the blessings of God throughout their life, that they were not able to be Christians and serving others in compassion and in true Christian love. They were not receiving the forgiveness of sins all the way through their life. And so when they do, when they convert, then they realize all what they have been missing out on. We should see ourselves in that way. We should see that what we have when Christ calls us into his kingdom, this is a blessing. That in fact, the kingdom of God is eternal. What we have in this life is for this life, that God brings us into his kingdom through his word, through his sacraments, the very things that Christ gives to us because of God's generous mercy. Because Jesus Christ, he did not make partial payment for sin. He did not pay on the cross for the sin of only some, but for all. For all those in all the world. And that includes you and me. That includes us who realize that we are blessed to be in the eternal kingdom throughout our whole lives or even toward the end. Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.